At your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Right, all right. Good morning, St. Louis. Welcome, welcome here right now to the Home Improvement Show right here on KMOX, your trusted voice for all things home improvement, remodeling, and making your house the absolute best it can be. Right here, I'm your host, Rich Orris, and for the next 2 hours, we'll dive into any of your home improvement questions you may have. We can tackle some of your toughest challenges and explore some expert tips to keep your home in tip-top shape. We can also think about what we should be doing right now today in St. Louis while we get beyond the snow, while the snow melts. We've got a lot coming up for you. So no matter what you're doing, what your task is, maybe you're dealing with a leaky faucet, maybe you're planning an entire kitchen makeover, or you just need some advice on some seasonal maintenance while you wait for all that snow to melt. I'm here to help you right now. So grab your cup of coffee, settle in, and give me a call right here, right now. Phone lines are wide open, 314-436-7900 for you. Let's chat about how to turn your house into the home of your dreams. We've got plenty to cover today. And of course, your calls are the heart of this show, so don't be shy. Your questions just might help someone else facing the same type of challenges as you. So, all right, let's get this thing started. What's on your home improvement to-do list this weekend? You can give me a call again, 314-436-7900, and let's chat about it. Let's talk about it. See what's going on for you right here today. Home Improvement Show with me, Rich Orris, on KMOX. And so kind of getting into and thinking about what we've just been through, what just kind of happened in the past week, and then again on Friday with all the snow, dealing with the snow, the cold weather moves in. So the snow is now starting to melt. We're getting a little bit warmer today and tomorrow, but then cold dropping again. So they keep talking about how this snow is going to be here for a little while, but it is melting away. And while you're waiting for the snow to melt, it's a great time to kind of prepare and take a look around and just check for any of those issues that are caused by melting snow, just so you can ensure that your home's in good shape. And catching things early is the key to getting them corrected earlier with less headaches, with less costs, with less damage to everything. So there's kind of a good list that you could look at doing. And I know I talk all the time about going around, walking around outside, walking around inside, just looking at things, checking things, just do what I kind of call that walkabout and see if everything still looks like it should look and like it did the week before and the week before and the week before, because that's a key player in finding some of these small issues as they come about. So checking into just walking around and looking at all of your gutters, downspouts, roof, just make sure they're still attached good. The weight of the snow pulls that stuff away as the fascia boards get wet and rot and things loosen up. So looking from the edge or the side of the gutter to see if it looks like it's moving away from the fascia at all is a good thing. So checking the downspouts, another thing that's good for the downspouts, especially if you have downspouts on your home that go into a pipe in the ground. So you can't really see the end of that downspout. You can't see that that's clear, but feel the downspout. Tap, knock on the downspout. See if it feels solid. There's a bunch of debris in it. That is a good thing to do. feeling on the back of the downspout, the seam where that downspout is put together is on the back of that downspout. So from the front, it can look perfectly fine. And then from the back, if you look down from the side or you feel back there, a lot of times if you have a bunch of clogging issues, that seam will split open. It expands from the back, and then you get all sorts of leaks and the water coming out where you don't want it to be. Another good thing to do is, as everything melts, kind of look at the ground right there around the house and around those downspouts. See if it looks like it's kind of settling, if it's pooling, if there's puddles of water there dripping from above. Then you know you have an issue that you want to look into, because a lot of times your gutters just aren't clear, and you got to clear them all the way through the ground, all the way to the end of that pipe that's in the ground, to make sure that it's going to work and that it's going to be clear. So inspecting your roof. Now, I don't mean to just don't go up and get on your roof, but just walking around looking at the roof during these cold times and during snow and frost and everything landing on your roof and getting on your roof, it can also help you check your attic insulation. Because as you look at the neighbor's roofs, as you look at your roof and see how is everything melting off of there, you might see areas where it's going away quicker than other areas. And that could be a diminished attic insulation value that's putting warm air, conditioned air from the home up into your attic. So checking and looking for all of that, examining just foundation, looking for any new cracks, anything that looks suspicious, clear the snow buildup from around the foundation, especially from around your doors, your windows, on your deck, where it all blew up against the doors and the windows. You really got to watch that, and you want to clear that away. Don't just let that melt away up against the house and up against especially a door or a window, because that's where it can start melting and kind of coming in. And the same thing at the edge of the roof with your gutters and the edge of the roof and what we call that ice damming. It's a good thing to see if it's piling up there, see if it, what it looks like is happening, see what looks like is going on around there, and do the same thing from the inside. When you move to the inside, it's a good thing to inspect your basements, your crawl spaces, look for any excessive water coming in as the snow melts away. Take a look around. And then, of course, just walking around the second floor, main floor of the house, where your roof lines are, around the edge of the wall, where the ceiling is, up near the wall, in the first 2-3 feet of that ceiling from the exterior walls with roof above. Just look at those areas really good. Shine a flashlight down there and see if you see anything changing, going on, any kind of staining happening, because this is when you'll start getting that ice damming leaking in, and those stains will start to occur, but they might be faint for a little while and they're hard to see. And a lot of times they're not noticed until really even spring, when the season changes, and then all of a sudden those stains start getting really dark, and then you start to notice them. So good things to do to go around, check and look into it, and make sure you just don't see anything too far out of place. And then you can know to get with some professionals, get with people in that area, and see if something looks strange, different with your roof. If you have snow melting off your roof in an odd format, or it's staying on the left but melting away on the right, maybe you have some professionals come out and check out your attic insulation, and what's going on with all of those systems of your home. Make sure they're working well for you. So, hey, we're going to get into our first break here, but you're listening to the Home Improvement Show right here, right now with Rich Orris, and you can find me, call in with your questions. Phone lines are wide open when we come back. 314-436-7900. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Home Improvement Show here. Remember, we've got two full hours for you today, so you can find me again at 314-436-7900. We've got Jim on the line. Let's jump straight to the phones and see what's going on with Jim. Are you there?
Hey, yes, I am. Thanks.
Hey, yeah, you're welcome. Question. Thanks for calling.
You bet. I wanted to ask your opinion if you think, if you would recommend that a home have gutter guard, you know, to keep debris out. And if you do, is there a product that you would recommend?
Absolutely. I would definitely recommend gutter guard. And it depends on the house, the situation. It really needs to be kind of examined. It depends a little bit on the type of trees that you have around the house, because there's several different types of gutter guards out there. And I don't personally like and I don't recommend are the helmets that go up your roof and tie into your roof and your roof shingles. So they go up, they attach to the roof underneath your roof shingles. Those helmets, they can work really, really well, but the pitfalls are, if you need a new roof, you have to take those off and put them back on. And sometimes if your gutters that are existing aren't installed really well, perfectly, I've seen those helmets have issues because of the way they were installed to an existing gutter. And it needs to be just right at the right angle and working to have the water do what it's supposed to do with those. So I've seen roofs where they have those type of helmets that go up on them, and I've seen them actually hold debris there and end up getting leaks and ice damming and all sorts of things going on, because it kind of the way the angle flattens out in certain areas, it was holding the big gumballs and things like that into the roof and keeping stuff up there and causing issues and backups. So there are some gutter guards that are flat, that sit on top of the gutter and work independently from the roof. They can work really, really well. But like, there's one we use here at Mosby Building Arts called SureFlow, and it's metal and it sits flat and it has little holes in it. If you have a bunch of pine trees with pine needles that get onto your roof and get into your gutters, then I try and recommend a different direction, because this has little holes and these pine needles can get caught in the holes. So that's the reason for kind of like examining the situation.
Right.
I do like the helmets that come with the gutter, where like the leaf guard, there's another one called, I think, K-Guard, where the gutter and the helmet is basically rolled off all in one piece. So you can have the helmet with the rollover part that does not connect to your roof, and it is installed well, because they get to install the gutter and the helmet at the same time. And those can work really, really well right up until you get to either a roof that's very steep, and the harder the rain, it can overshoot those gutters at times. Or if you have a lot of newer homes, the roofs are really neat looking and they're chopped up and they've got a lot of valleys and a lot going on to them, so they look nice from the street, but it makes systems like this hard to work. So those type can also overshoot in the valleys where two roof lines come together. You have an inside corner. When you get hard enough rains, it will just shoot right over there. And then they'll put up a little guard or something to try and stop that from happening, which then catches debris. So a lot of times these systems kind of minimize what happens inside your gutters and your downspouts, but still create a couple areas or a flat surface on top to pay attention to where it won't go in the gutter, but you want to make sure those debris are blowing off the top and not causing backups and things like that to happen. So I would definitely recommend getting some type of gutter guard and doing a lot of research to try and find the one that's best for your home, the shape, the steepness of the roof, and the types of trees that you have around your home.
Well, appreciate that. That's the point about the types of tree makes a lot of sense. So thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. No problem. I appreciate the call, and definitely a great question and things that we run into here at Mosby Building Arts, going around and inspecting homes and talking about remodeling and room additions and new roofs and new gutters, and kind of looking into all of that is definitely a really good idea, in finding the one that you feel is going to work best for your area. And you got to be careful, because people sell these products. So they come to your house, and you got to really just kind of have open-ended conversations and see if they really recommend what might be the best thing for what you're trying to do. Some people will, some people won't. So you really got to talk to a lot of different people and really check in to what's going on and see how you feel about it. Your gut instinct is always a great, great thing for you. So we just got another call in. We got Al on the line. Let's see what's going on with Al. You there?
Yes, sir. I have a seam of a gutter where two seams come together, and it's leaking and just dripping out as all the snow's melting and everything else.
Uh-huh.
And before I've been up there, I've tried to use the flex tape products and stuff like that, or, you know, the different things, but yet it's never really taken care of that seam. And I was curious if there's a magic situation that can get me to keep it from leaking out.
Well, not really a magic situation that makes it like super, super easy, but really the biggest thing on a corner like that is cleaning everything out as well as possible and having a good dry surface and enough dry time to have what you put on there work out and have a good surface to adhere to. So you need to pick a good dry time and really clean that gutter out and get to the bare metal. Scrape everything off of there. Get to as much bare metal as you can. And then a normal just gutter caulking. It's like a urethane base type gutter caulking that's meant for the inside of those seams that they use from day one. They put them, you know, they caulk the inside of those seams from day one, and they work really, really well for a lot of years as it wears. And the reason it works for so long is because you've got brand new metal, very clean, very dry when you get to apply it. So you got to try and get back to that, make sure there's no rust, anything like that. So you might kind of have to clean the inside of the metal with some steel wool or something to kind of abrase that surface, get any little rust spots or anything like that going on cleaned out as much as possible. And then a normal gutter caulk should work.
Okay. So thank you very much for the information.
Yeah, no problem. You're welcome. And I do see all those, like the black spray that's, they spray the inside of the gutter, or they spray all these different areas. You could try all that stuff, but just the typical put my gutters together, gutter caulk off the shelf really seems to work well when you get to the right surface. So, hey, we're going to take our middle hour break here in the first hour, but don't forget where you can find me, 314-436-7900. We got plenty more to come and more calls coming up. Hopefully after this, stay tuned. Don't go nowhere. All right, everybody, we are back. Plenty to talk about, plenty to do. Your topics are the best topics, my favorite topics. What do you have going on? 314-436-7900. Give me a shout. We can talk about it. Let's jump in with Mark here and see what's going on with Mark. Are you there?
Yeah. I guess I have an ice dam problem. I have a sun porch that's attached to the back of the house. It's technically unheated or air conditioned. You know, there's no HVA system out there, but I'm getting water leaking signs coming down on the drywall from on the inside of the room. Is there anything I can do once all the snow melts away, like put a drip edge out there by the gutter, or is there any steps I can take to prevent that?
Yes, there definitely is. So let me get a little bit of a picture here from you. So off the back of your home, you've got like this sunroom, and is the roof of that sunroom like a kind of lower sloped metal type roof?
Yeah, it's not metal. It's shingled.
Okay.
But it's not as steep as the pitch on the home. And one of the questions I wanted to ask, I have a smart level, and I want to make sure that the roofers put on, I believe they put shingles up there. I want to make sure it was a strong enough pitch for shingles and not really should have been a rolled roof material.
Yeah, and that could be another part of the issue going on that right there.
What's the minimum percentage of slope I need to have for shingles?
It's what they call a 312. So basically every 12 feet, it should drop 3 feet. So, so that's typically the minimum. When we get into something a little bit underneath there, if you want the look of the shingles, but you're a little bit under that 312, then you can do a layer of ice and water shield starting from the front of the roof, working all the way back to where it meets the steeper part of the roof, and you basically cover that entire thing with the ice and water shield. Then you go shingles on top of that to keep that look. So if it's like a 212, you could consider that. If it's anything under a 2, I would do the literal, either a white TPO or the roll roofing material. I would just go with that. And if it's under a 2, a lot of times it's a roof that's hard to see anyways because it's pretty flat. So, but yes, where you're probably having your main issue is when that lower slope roof turns into the steeper roof, there needs to be ice and water shield under there that goes up the steeper roof about 18 inches to 3 feet, where that is covered from underneath so that you don't get an ice damming effect right there where the roof pitch changes.
Yeah, this particular sunroom butts into on the end wall of the home, so it's butting up against the bricks, and I don't have the problem there. It the leaking is coming in out at the gutter line at the very end of the sunroom, if you will.
So you're at the very bottom edge of the sunroom where it's coming in with the gutter on the sunroom.
At the gutter end,
So you've definitely got just an ice damming type area there, and that's got to be what's going on in there. So a drip edge would not be enough because you're looking for a good area. So stripping the shingles off, and if your roof is a 312 or more, what you want to do is strip the shingles off for 3 feet, 3.5 feet from the gutter up the roof.
Right.
You put on a 3-foot row of ice and water shield that sticks down Like peel and stick tape, it sticks down to that plywood. Of course, you make sure your plywood's repaired if there's any damages. Stick that down. Then you re-shingle your way down on top of that. And okay. You can put a drip edge on once that's there, but your drip edge actually goes on top of the ice and water shield, not underneath it. And because that lets water back out if it backs up behind the shingles. And the drip edge will still help the water from the shingles get into the gutter. So a drip edge is a good thing to do there.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it. I can't obviously be doing anything for a while till it melts. But once the weather warms up and dries out, I need to address that. Okay.
Yeah, and another area I would look at just for concern and just to make sure, on the wall of this sunroom, is it like a vinyl siding material, or what's the wall surface?
Yeah, the exterior wall is the vinyl siding.
Yeah.
Correct.
So I would also look behind the top couple rows of that vinyl siding.
Okay.
Just make sure there's nothing happening with the wall. With this happening during snow, I'm pretty positive it's the roof. But right. I'm kind of trained to never stop looking and make sure, because sometimes you have two issues. In driving rains, you might get water in that wall from the vinyl siding, and then in bad snowstorms like this, you get it in from the roof because there's an error in not best roof situation, and there's an error in building a not best wall situation, and you're like, wow, my leak's back in the middle of summer. How did that happen?
All righty. Real quick on that 312 pitch. I know with my smart level, if I put it on there, it gives me a percentage of slope. Do you know what the 312, is it 4%, 3%?
I would have to do the math, because basically it'd be an inch like every 12 inches.
Okay.
So, that's like just a couple percent. It's not a lot.
Right.
Ten would be 10%. So I'm sorry, it's probably a little bit higher than that. So
right. Okay.
It's probably like 15% or something.
Okay. Very good. All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for your help. Love the show. Very informative, and I listen to it often.
Yeah, and when you get your percentage, you can also probably just, if you Google like a roof pitch calculator.
Right.
And there's probably a reverse thing where you just put in what's the percentage and it'll tell you what the pitch is.
I didn't think about that. Yeah. Yep. Okay, great. Thanks, Rich.
All right, you're welcome. Yeah, there's a lot of tools out there for everybody to look up and kind of Google and figure out. I used to do that all the time, just trying to help my daughter with math when she was in middle school and high school. And you just Google all these different triangle calculators, just try and even remember how to do that stuff, because you haven't done it for so terribly long. So, yep, a lot of great tools like that for us all on the internet. But let's get into our final break of the first hour here. Don't forget, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show. You can find me at 314-436-7900. We got plenty of time, plus a whole nother hour after the next segment. So stick with us. Don't go anywhere, and we'll have more to come.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, everybody. Final segment. Plenty of time for you. If you've got something going on, call in. Give me a shout, 314-436-7900. But don't worry, don't fret. We've got a whole nother hour coming up after this one, too. So plenty of time to get everyone's comments, concerns, questions, whatever you're dealing with. We can get it in today. Give me a shout and let's know what's going on. Let's see if we can help you. 314-436-7900. And I wanted to, while I have a minute, kind of wrap up this kind of inspection and looking for potential issues while the snow melts And as this goes away, because I didn't get through the whole list and really missed probably the most important one of all. But going through quickly, we kind of spoke about earlier, check your gutters, your downspouts, look at, inspect your roof, see how it's melting, see how it looks there. Going around inspecting your foundation, inspect your doors, windows, inside, outside, move the buildup snow away from your home, the foundation, your doors and windows, and kind of go around and we touched on inspect your basement, look into your crawl spaces, inspect those if you can. But the main thing to really look at as you're doing that is to check your sump pump. Test the sump pump. See if it's working. I have story after story after story of finding sump pumps in disarray when homeowners just haven't looked at it, don't know. Remember that these sump pumps only last, especially if they run a lot, they're only going to last around 8 years, maybe six, maybe 10. If you haven't done anything in a while, it might just be time. If you have a 10, 12-year-old sump pump, you might just want to go down there and not only check it out, but just change it. A little preventive maintenance to figure out and stay ahead of the game is a great thing to do, but I can probably take the whole next hour and go through stories of finding sump pumps in disarray, right up to my own mother-in-law's, my in-law's sump pump when I stopped by to look at her dryer to see if there was like what the issue was with that, if maybe there was a simple fix because the dryer wasn't working, and found the sump pump breaker just dislodged, tripped over, sump pump is not working, it's not running, and the backflow preventer snapped in half, so it's not connected anymore, even if it was working. So we need to get that replaced as fast as we can before all this snow melts. So, hey, we got Bob on the line. Let's get to Bob and see what's going on. Bob, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
I had a broom built on the house on the back, and true, the contractor was on the cheap side. Well, the gutters for the two roofs come together.
Uh-huh.
It runs over. And the handyman thinks the gutter's too small. Could that be?
Well, so, yeah, when you have two roof lines coming together like that, sometimes, no matter what you do, it might still overshoot, and it depends on how much rain, how much water, how steep is the roof as that water runs down. You, even if you correct all that you can, you might still get times that happens. And the things to look for on that is in that inside corner where the roofs meet, you want that gutter to be as high up as possible. You want the pitch to start there and work away in both directions if you can.
Okay.
And that way your gutter is high as it can be to catch the water coming off. Now, if you have a really old gutter that's a 4-inch gutter, that's pretty short, sticking mm-hmm. out. The latest gutters we've been doing for the past, you know, about 10 years or so ago and beyond is 5-inch gutters. Well, now, as gutters go on, we've raised that up even more to a 6-inch gutter. So you have 6 inches of space to catch that water. So you will catch more with a bigger gutter.
You'd want a big downspout too, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So the 6-inch gutters go with an oversized downspout. So that way it's a bigger downspout that will take away the same amount of water as the gutter can collect and run through and take away. Now, your last resort that we do this all the time is if you still get, if you do both of those, you get the 6-inch gutters and it's pitched well and it's really high in that corner, so it's catching the most amount of water that it can. If it still overshoots at times, then you put up a little kind of gutter guard on the face of that gutter, kind of on the top front edge, and you stand up a piece of metal, and sometimes we'll go 3 or 4 inches, and you bring it out from the corner both directions, maybe 16 inches each way. So you're talking maybe 3 foot of metal bent in an L that kind of stands up about 2 or 3 or 4 inches, and that will help capture some of that water that overshoots and kind of send it back down into that gutter to keep that from overshooting. So there's kind of three things you can do there to help that out.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm scared it's going to mess my foundation up.
Well, you get too much water there and it overshoots and it keeps landing there. Yes, the water goes into the ground. It goes down to the foundation. Of course, it all just runs down. If you don't have a lot of runoff and steep grade, then, yeah, excessive water around the foundation can absolutely, over time, it swells the ground and it kind of gets it all nice and wet and everything, and then the ground shrinks when it dries out and we're in a drought and you end up needing some piering or you end up needing sump pump inside the basement because you're getting so much water. So a lot of times when sump pumps, instead of installing sump pumps inside of a basement, there's a lot of things like this we can do outside to manage, control, and move the water away and take care of that water before it gets to your foundation. Yep.
Well, thanks a lot. You've helped me a lot.
All right. Perfect. Hey, appreciate the call. Good question. And that's a lot of what's happening right now with everybody out there as the snow melts, as we get big rains, as we get water around. So everybody's always really concerned about the rain and how much water is coming about and how are my gutters handling the rain. But it's also very important to think about the water that comes from snowmelt. So there's a lot that can come in around your foundation, all of that. So making sure everything's working, making sure your sump pump's good, all that's going to work out for you is imperative in this situation, especially when we've gotten so much snow. Like we, in the past week, are in the from the snowstorm in late November and then the snowstorms in this past week, we've already gotten more snow than the last like 5 seasons or something of snow. So we've gotten a lot of snow this season already. So hey, we're going to get into our hour break here. We'll run some news for you. Stick around, stick with us, give us a call for the next hour. 314-436-7900 is where you're going to find me. We'll have plenty more to come next hour.
At your service, it's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hour two of the KMOX Home Improvement Show. I'm Rich Orris here for you right here, right now. We've got a whole another hour left. We've got plenty of things we can go over. But again, remember, your calls are really what makes this show what it is. Your conversations, your topics. And again, you may be helping somebody else out that has kind of the same issue and they're just listening and then they start to hear about it and they go, oh, wow, I kind of got that same thing going on. So let's talk about whatever you have going on around your house. 314-436-7900. Get you directly and right to me. We've gone over some really cool stuff so far. Kind of went through inspecting, looking around your home. What should we be doing while this snow melts away? And what should we look for in troubled areas? Definitely want to touch back on the major one is that sump pump in your basement, especially if you have any finished areas in your basement. Just go down there, test that thing out, see if it's working. Make sure if you have a battery backup, check that out. Make sure that's functioning and lit up correctly on the batteries and everything, and that's going to work and help you out, because I've seen numerous times of looking at a home and just finding issues with sump pumps that are just not working or even basically backing up, not functioning. I had one years ago where I was there to look at remodeling a bathroom and kind of said, well, you mind if I run down into the basement and take a look at the plumbing stacks and see what the condition is of the older cast iron stacks, all of that, the plumbing lines, and take a look at the electrical panel box. And I go down there and the sump pump is just, it's running like crazy. It's boiling over. It's disconnected. The pipes broke. It's just dumping water onto the floor, running across the basement. Now, luckily for them, the finished area wasn't really getting there really bad, and it was going to a floor drain. But I've seen plenty of times. I had another one where we were looking at some work in the house, and they hadn't lived there long, but we had a bunch of rainstorms and a bunch of water going on. And they said, oh, yeah, we've only been here a couple months, but we've made it through all these storms, and basement seems to be perfectly dry, and we haven't had an issue. And me and the owner walked downstairs, and we hit carpet at the bottom of the basement stair, and it just splashes. It's just completely soaked. There's about an inch of water through that entire basement area with all the carpet and everything. And we kind of looked at each other, and I'm like, oh, no, this isn't good. And really, the thing there that was so sad was their sump pump was there. It was working. It was just installed in a not real good, not proper manner, to where it was installed on a flexible line that took the water out of the house. So the sump pump literally was running so much because of all the rain they've been getting and working, it kind of picked it up and it moved it. The float got stuck underneath the flexible line, and the pump was there. The pump was functioning, but since it moved, it wouldn't let the float go up. So it thought there was no water in the pit, and it overflowed, and it flooded the entire basement area. And as soon as I moved that around and got that float to come up, it just started working, started getting rid of all the water, and we're just staring at each other like, oh, man. So there's a big difference when you install that. And I get a lot of questions about cost and pricing. And we talk a lot about the type of company and who they are and how they're going to service you and everything that goes with it. What all different things do they do? But also, how well are they going to do that? You get a handyman, yeah, he's going to be a lot less than a plumber. Plumber might be a little bit less than a foundation company. But as you go up that tier, they're better at what they do and how they install it. So when you install that sump pump with a hard plastic pipe with the proper backflow preventer, that's going to work and function. It's going to hold that sump pump in place so that something like that doesn't happen to you. That, to me, is worth more of an investment to get right than to say, well, I paid 30% of what I would have to have it done wrong, and now my basement flooded. I mean, it's just so really talking, knowing, understanding, and talking about how things happen and asking questions to educate yourself is just so important, because I'll install a new sump pump for you on a piece of paper as a scope of work. Just saying that and just having different prices from each person doesn't necessarily show or indicate which one is better than the other in what they do or how they do it. So just something to think about, look out for, and keep at the top of your mind. And that is serves true with everything that happens in the building, in the remodeling industry. How everything is done, it can be completely different. So there's different reasons on what happens and how it happens. And so you've got the company to contend with. How good are they? How long have they been around? What's their warranty? How well do they service you? Do they use subcontractors or do they use their own employees? There's all these reasons a company could have more expenses to do a better job for you or service you better. But then there's also how well is it being done and are they really trained and do they really know what they're doing in more expense in the work and how that's done. I see, you know, we talk a lot about how windows are installed and I see ads where a window's going in, two guys kind of pushing it into a hole and it's got vinyl siding all around it and they didn't take any of it off. And that's not, it's in the advertising. We're going to do this to a minimal way to get a new window in. But if you get driving rains and you get water behind vinyl siding, then you can get leaks. You can get air leaks around that because it's not air sealed. So there's just better ways to do everything that we do. And it's not all that one's so much better than the other that you should never do the one. It's more just understanding and figuring out what's best with your circumstance and what will work for you and how you get through it. It's kind of like the gutter guards we were talking about a little bit earlier with Jim and the different types, and they're so that they all have pros and cons, and you got to pick the one that has the most pros for your situation. I don't recommend the gutter helmets that tie into your roof. If you think about how those integrated gutters were done 100 years ago, about 18 to 30 inches of copper would go up your roof line underneath the shingles and turn into the gutter as one piece of metal. And now you've got this new one that's only going up 3, 4, 5 inches onto the roof. And that can create some problems. And they're nailing through the roof to attach it and then laying the shingles back down over top of it. It's just not my favorite, but I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of homes that have this that have had success with it for years and years. So it doesn't mean it's like never do it or it's never good or it never works. It's just picking the one that has the most pros and is going to work the best for you and will give you the best chance that it will work the best for you is really what you're after, what you're looking for with not just gutter guards, not just types of gutters, not just types of siding, and not just how you install siding, but everything that you do to your home constantly. Every time you really want to look at and think about all that. But hey, we're going to get into our first break. Remember, again, we've got a lot of time left for you here. Anything you need, any questions you may have, anything going on for you, I'm right here for you. 314-436-7900 will get you right to me. Phone lines are wide open. We'll take a quick break. Don't touch that dial.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, everybody, we're back. Got a lot going on, a lot of information for today, but your topic, your question, your information is the best topic for us to go over. Remember, again, 314-436-7900. Get you right to me like Don did. We've got Don on the line. Hey, you there?
Yeah, hey, I'm down in Waterloo. We got about 2.5-3 inches of solid sleet and ice. What's your recommendations on that sump pump with the pop-ups in your yard? Could that be a problem?
So
the pop-up drains for the top.
So yeah, pop-up drains in the yard really shouldn't be if they're installed correctly, they really shouldn't be a large problem. And the reason that the pop-up drains become a problem with ice and freezing water at this time of year is generally because they're not finished off and installed correctly where that line ends and where that pop-up comes out. So, and basically what I mean is when you do that pop-up, you've got that plastic pipe running through the ground, there's an elbow and it bends up, you know, it turns up, and then you put the green pop-up with the level of the dirt, the grass in the yard, and as water runs through there, the hydrostatic pressure of all that water getting to the end pushes it out the top of that pop-up. So once the water stops flowing and that pressure goes away, there is some water left inside that pipe that can freeze. Now, what we do for that is the elbow at the end where that pop-up is has a hole in the bottom of it. It'll have like a slit about half inch, three quarters inch long, quarter inch wide. And what you want to do is where that pop-up ends, you dig a hole in the ground, at least about the size of a 5 gallon bucket. You fill that hole up with rock and you tamp that rock and you get that right at the level you need it to be. And now you've got two good things that are going to happen because you've done that. The first is it's less likely to settle down into the ground as the ground settles because you've got the tamped rock. So another issue with pop-ups is it'll drop down into the ground, grass grows over top of it, and then it stops working. But once you do that, you've got the rock underneath it, that slit, that hole in the bottom of that elbow will let water slowly go out of it. It'll run down into that rock and it'll kind of disperse out into the yard and to grade and into the earth, and it'll remove water from that pipe. So you shouldn't have enough water in that pipe to freeze that pipe solid if it's installed correctly and it's letting the water out through that little kind of weep hole in the end of that elbow.
Hey, I got one pop up that's maybe about 4 inches below the grass, below the ground level. Is that going to be a problem with ice on top of it?
Yes, I would definitely. I mean, now's a horrible time to work on something like that, but yes, I would definitely look at getting in there and raising, either extending the pipe to a newer location or raising that all back up to where it's back to level with the surface, get that tamped rock and everything underneath it, and then it can work and function properly. But yeah, you'll definitely have issues with all the water, snow, everything on top of it, with it not being able to pop up and let anything out of it if it needs to.
Yeah, we got a good 5 gallon bucket of rock under it, but you know, ground settled.
So. Yep. Yeah, and it still can.
Another thing I had, you know, when you blade up your driveways, no matter what kind of driveway it is, try to get it all off, because if you've got crap on the ice and crap on the sides, freezing and thawing is just going to kill it. You know, you got to get everything off your driveway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as far as the, you know, freezing and thawing, popping that concrete or asphalt, whatever you got. This is tough on the asphalt, man. I'm plowing snow.
Yeah. Yeah, it is definitely tough on asphalt because it's a little thinner material, so the freeze can get underneath it pretty easily. And definitely it's very harsh on the surface of the concrete. I totally agree with you, Don. I talk all the time about the reasons to shovel your concrete, your driveway. Even if you're not going to use it, it's great to clear that off and get rid of that freezing, the freeze-thaw, and everything. And then, of course, going back to summer-fall timing, sealing all that concrete and keeping those pores sealed up, and that helps prevent all of that also.
Get that concrete dry as fast as you can on a day like today.
Yep. Definitely very, very important. And like last week, I had a lot of tips on snow removal and how to do it, when to do it, how often to do it. There's a lot of different things you can do. And I actually spoke with one of my clients that it was really, really nice because she told me, she said, "Oh, yeah, we've been keeping up with our driveway and we were using some tips that you gave last Saturday before all this happened on what to do and how to get rid of it and everything." So that was really, really cool for me too. I like when every now and then I get to hear stories where people are actually doing some of the things that we say recommend and it works out for them. So that's awesome. So yeah, appreciate the call, Don. Very, very good topics and questions in this time of year for sure. And checking this stuff out in the winter, I know it's not the easiest thing to do, but it's a good thing to do because we see all the time, like I just had one not too long ago, that the other end of that yard drain, so Don's asking about where it ends and the pop-up and how the water comes out and freezing on the end. Well, when you look at the end where the downspout connects to the pipe, that's another thing I find all the time as I walk around and inspect a house and I just go up to a downspout and I go, well, you've done good. You've got the pipe. You've got the downspout. You've ran this away and everything, but the ground settles near the house. The pipe drops down and the downspout is no longer connected to or inside of that 4-inch plastic pipe anymore. And I just saw one a couple weeks ago like that. And the pipe in the ground was completely full of water and it was frozen solid. And all the water coming out of the downspout was just hitting the ice and running off the sides. And you can see where the grade's been lowering and so much water's been running about and around it. So it's important just to kind of take that look at the grade, look at the pipes. Once those become disconnected, you want to get those fixed, raised back up, have the proper slope and have them working. So that's something that we find all the time, but you know, very common around our parts and the way the ground is and the water and everything that we have. Remember, water, snow melt, rain, this is all part of Mother Nature's plan to wipe out everything that we've done, and that's what she does. So she's doing this to destroy everything we've built. So we need to keep up and on top of how do we build it, how do we make it last longer, then how do we maintain it to keep it lasting longer and working well. But hey, let's get into our middle break here. Remember, again, we got another half hour playing time for everybody. Anything you need, find me right here, 314-436-7900. Stick around. More Home Improvement Show to come after this. All right, guys, we are back. Plenty of home improvement topics we can go through. But again, remember, we got plenty of time for you, and your topics are my favorite topics. You can find me again, 314-436-7900 here for you. We got quite a while left for you, but I did want to touch again on kind of just the hazards of being in a home, having a home, trying to heat a home in the cold, in the winter. This is when we have issues with fires and with carbon monoxide. And we've been, I know everybody's been watching everything going on out in California, out in LA. My hearts go out to everyone out there. It's such a catastrophic event of what's happening out there. And when you think about the magnitude of a home fire and you multiply that to acres and acres and miles and entire communities in you're talking about churches and stores and shops, businesses, restaurants, homes. I mean, it's talk about a catastrophe. But we saw in the news, you know, we had a house fire with Fatality right here in St. Louis. And I've been trying to kind of keep this at the top of everybody's mind every week if I can. And they're saying that that was the result of looking for an alternative heat source and using either the oven or the stovetop or something to try and get more heat in the house and ends up with a fire. So having alternative heat sources that are safe is really imperative this time of year. And don't be afraid to reach out for help from Ameren, from Laclede Gas, from any of your local churches and different organizations. I know everybody's trying to come together during this time to house people and help everyone out. And it's definitely, there's some tragic things happening. But the biggest really on the list is, you know, having your carbon monoxide detectors and your smoke detectors, having them all speak to one another, knowing that they work is really the biggest thing that you can do to combat everything, you know, the issues of starting house fires and carbon monoxide in the house with alternative heat sources and trying to stay warm in the winter. Knowing the symptoms of what's going on, the common symptoms of carbon monoxide, dizziness, headaches, nausea, vomiting, chest pain, knowing those things, if that just starts to come about and it's more than one person, it's time to get out of the house and have that looked at. Call the fire department, call 911, especially if you have a carbon monoxide detector that goes off. They'll come, they'll safely look at everything. Don't forget to have your gas furnaces inspected by a licensed professional. If you need a generator, we get a lot of power outages. Keeping that outside, keeping it a good distance away from the house. Sometimes someone puts it right up against the house. It's a leaky house. There's gases coming right inside a window with a cord going out the window, so the window's not quite closed. That can be just as problematic doing something like that at the same time. And then also just remembering that the lifespan of these devices, it's like 8-10 years. So if it's been a while, newer devices will have years on them. I think they started that around 2009, something like that, to where they'll have a date on them. You can pull them down, look at the backside, and it will say like the date they were made. If it's more than 10 years, you need all new devices. Get them all changed out. Be safe. And then some of the common things to look for or try and keep your eye on that can help you spot if you are having a carbon monoxide buildup is one is decreased hot water supply. If your water heater is not working right and you're not getting as much or enough hot water, it could be something going wrong with that. Have it checked out. Moisture on the inside of your windows is another one. If you never really used to have that and you're starting to see something like that, have the carbon monoxide checked out, looked into, and then just looking at the flue pipes, the chimney flues, making sure they're not disconnected, that they're running uphill and going away, looking for any black soot on them, on any fuel burning appliance vent. Look for black soot on that. Look for rust or water stains on those vent pipes. And those are all signs of it could be backing up at times and causing moisture, causing problems and getting that carbon monoxide in your home. So believe me, the silent killer, you don't want that in your home. So watch out for all of these things going on. But hey, it is a new year. We do have new things going on. So I thought maybe we could get into a topic a little more for the new year, maybe a little lighter and something to think about for upcoming remodeling trends and what we're expecting to see in this year of 2025, what's going to gain some popularity in 2025, basically looking at aesthetics, preferences, and practical considerations for just newer, more modern living. Times are changing, things are changing, and people are changing for what they're looking for in their homes and how they want to their homes to perform and how they what they want to do and how they want to be inside their homes. So a lot of newer things coming up that we've had through the years, but growing and growing and growing is more eco-friendly, sustainable designs when it comes to energy efficiency, water saving features, using recycled materials, reclaimed woods, recycled glass, other eco-friendly materials. These are all things that the popularity of that is growing and growing and growing. Another one is the smart home integration. This is a big, awesome thing that can really help people inside their homes. And I think for a lot of years, a lot of clients have kind of been like, yeah, I don't really need that. That's kind of a big to do or whatever, but not really realizing how it can help out, how it can get you through the day, even later on and as you age. So we have a lot of things that we do for aging in place and keeping people in their homes. And now this smart home integration is becoming a big part of that. And I know about a month or so ago, I was talking about a client of mine that we're doing a lot of lighting, switching, switches that work with Alexa to help them in their home. As he ages, he can turn on lights to the front porch when he has guests coming without having to actually walk over to the front door. So you can make sure that that stuff is on and working for people. Just turning on and off lights of if you forgot a light, you got into bed, you can literally just go, hey, Alexa, turn off the living room light, and it will work. And I just had that same client as we're performing this work basically called me up last week and said, oh man, you know, I'm going to need a couple more of these switches. It's so nice and it works so well. And I really should have thought of these areas up front first. And we were kind of just trying to pick certain areas that were troubled problems for his path through the day and what he does through the day. And so we didn't do the entire home, and this still won't cover the entire home, but he's like, yeah, I need a couple more in these areas. And it's so great. So he's liking it, using it, and it's working and wanting to add even more. So proof in the pudding right there that this is a great thing. It is a great thing to do and to consider. But hey, let's jump into our last and final break of this show today, of our final hour. So if you have anything for me, we got one more segment left. So don't hesitate to call in. Give me a shout. 314-436-7900 will get you to me. And we'll finish up some of this list for 2025 right after this. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, everybody, we are back. The KMOX Home Improvement Show, final segment. If you have anything you need, we've got a few minutes to get you in. We can always fit you in. 314-436-7900, get you straight to me. But let's continue on with what we think is on tap for the upcoming 2025. What are some of the newer things we're going to be seeing? And most of them are these items have been coming around for a while and just kind of growing stronger and stronger each year. Of course, multifunctional spaces is another big area of adaptable rooms, home offices that double as guest rooms, playrooms, transforming into exercise areas. Built-in furniture is another big one with these rooms, Murphy beds, products like that that help you create that multi-use area. And then zoning for activities is really for different relaxation and hobbies in one area. And that's really another big thing of how do you have these areas that actually work and function for everybody and really help out. So outdoor living expansions is another one that has been growing and growing all the time. More and more of different, we've had calls about four season rooms. We have outdoor kitchens, grills, pizza ovens, full kitchen setups with water. It's awesome. There's a lot going on. So look forward to that in 2025 also. But hey, we've got a couple calls coming in. Let's see if we can get through them here. We got Diane on the line. Let's start with Diane. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Good. What's going on?
Okay, I have the shower. The water doesn't get hot enough anymore. In the shower now, the water in the sink, bathroom sink, it's just as hot as it normally is and in the kitchen. But the shower does not get hot anymore. And
okay.
I don't know whether...
Is it a single-handled faucet for that shower?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So yeah, I would say more than likely that single-handle faucet, the valve that's inside that body is probably not – something's wrong with it, and it's not letting as much hot water through as it used to. It could have calcium buildup inside of that from the pipes, kind of blocking the water coming through from the hot side. So in the body of that, in that valve behind the handle is a cartridge. And I would start with trying to change that and seeing if that you could flush that out, get rid of any debris, put a new cartridge in that valve and see if that gains your hot water back. If not, it could be something in the hot water pipe further down the line of calcium deposit, not letting enough hot water through just inside the pipe.
Just inside the pipe to
that shower valve. Yes, it could be.
Okay, but so
start with that cartridge in that valve. Yep, that's what I would start with.
Okay, do you have any recommendations of who does that?
Just any licensed plumbing. Any licensed plumbing company would be able to handle that. If you know of any good handymen out there, it's definitely a DIY task. So a handyman could find the part and get that change for you too. It doesn't have to be a licensed person, but they definitely should know how to do it also.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All righty.
Very good. And thank you for having me on.
Yeah.
This is my first time.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks for calling in, Diane. I appreciate it. Let's jump over to David here and see what's going on with David. Are you there?
Yes. How are you today?
I am great. What's happening, sir?
Good. Loving the snow. Loving the snow.
Yeah.
Hey, anyway, old house, hot water, heat system, big, fat, nice radiators, the original part of the house, great, no problems. Got a late 60s addition, and they just put, you know, a little short baseboard in the bathroom and then a 16-foot run on a 18-by-16 addition.
Uh-huh.
I've got a separate circulating line for that room. Circulating pump for that room. My question is, do you know if we can put, it of course runs with the house thermostat. The whole thing runs at once.
Uh-huh.
And I put a separate thermostat in that room since I have a isolated pump for that to tie into the hot water to the furnace, the hot water furnace, and have those work individually as the thermostats ask for heat. If you follow what I'm saying.
I do, and I think that is definitely possible, but probably a little bit harder than you think, just because there will be valves and stuff that they have to install to where, because if it's both getting the water when it kicks on to one boiler, then you need to have like some valves that kind of separate that, where you could get it to run, even though there's a separate pump, it still needs to run separate for the one room with the separate pump, and then separate for the rest of the house from when it kind of kicks on and starts.
Well, what I'm asking is, do you think it obviously needs to run a longer period of time?
Yeah.
Because the baseboard radiators aren't as big and much space.
Yep.
So my thought is it just needs to run longer. That zone needs to run longer.
Yeah, yeah. So basically,
put two thermostats. I don't know why I would need any valves, but could we get a separate thermostat, and they both would run as each thermostat asked for heat? You know, so could one run without the other? One zone run without the rest of the house?
So it can.
I don't see what.
When I've seen this put into place with radiant type water, hot water heat, they've had to put in like a zoning system with some valves that kind of says it tells the water which way to go and which direction needs it. So there's still some sort of separation, I believe, you would need
the
system.
Wouldn't the separate pumps deal with that, though? Wouldn't separate pumps deal with that?
That I'm not positive on.
Situation?
If that would work or not.
They got two pumps going now.
Yeah. I would get with an HVAC. It's definitely possible if you talk to an HVAC professional that deals with radiators and everything, they'll be able to explain to you how it can happen and what would have to happen to make it work properly. But yes, I do know it is 100% possible. It's just how much work does it take to get it done? Would be let the professionals figure that out. But yeah, definitely good for you. And I appreciate the call, David. Good question, and definitely something that we've dealt with plenty in the past on getting through stuff like that. So we are completely out of time, everybody. Want to say thanks for all the calls, everything. Remember, be good to each other, be good to your homes, and I will talk to everybody next week.